Thanks, Ben. Really appreciate the amount of work that went into that particular worship set. If you can hear all those instruments and those different things, they're all Ben. There wasn't a lot of people there. It was Ben overlaying and overlaying. And if you've ever done it, you know how much effort that is. So really appreciate it, and just the creativity as well of bringing in and tying together "The Lord is my shepherd." What the kids in True Colours are finding out about Jesus being the gate and the sheep gate, and that sense of safety, we're finding out as well that "The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want." And so today, this is a journey in discovering more clearly who God is, who God the Father is. It's Father's Day. And we want to celebrate that. It's not an easy day for everyone, and maybe it continues to be a challenge for you in regards to your earthly fathers. But actually, I want us to focus on our heavenly Father, because the problem is that many of our experiences we then translate and project onto the Father, and we start to distort the image that we have of him, if we ever did have a clear image. I want to say happy Father's Day to my own father. He has just come back from having a cataract operation, which he had yesterday, and that is exactly what we're talking about. He had something on the lens of his eye that made him unable to see clearly. And when that was removed, suddenly it's a different story. And my prayer today is that we would undo that strategy of the enemy. We would undo the work that he's done to place a filter, a blurred view of the Father. Because what Tanya was saying is, if we don't have the right view of the Father, then we're not going to go and seek him out. When Ella and her were seeking for each other, they knew that there were people who wanted to meet. But the challenge is, if we've got a wrong view of God, we then don't even want to get close to him. So we're going to explore a few of the issues, then some of the solutions that Jesus has done, and then finally there's a little bit of homework at the end. So stick with it, but it should be good, and a video if you're good. At the very beginning of the Bible, we see this strategy in place. The enemy says to Adam and Eve, "Did God really say you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that?" And they said yes, quite clearly. They understood the instructions, "Don't eat of the tree." But then he puts in this seed of motivation. "That's because God knows you will be like him if you eat that fruit." And there is always a misplaced motivation that God, for why God is, or why you think God is doing these things or not doing these things. And that stops so many people. People like, actually, sadly, if you ask people like Stephen Fry why he doesn't believe in God, with vehemence, he will say, "Well, childhood cancer. How can there be a God if there is all these bad things happening?" So he instantly has dismissed God because God hasn't performed or done the things that he thinks a God should have done. And therefore, he is dismissed looking for him or engaging with him. And that may be you. Or you may have heard that that God wants to be Lord of your life. And he wants to kind of control you and rule over you. And though I understand the motivation for why people talk about God being on the throne of our lives, actually, God doesn't want to be on the throne of our lives. He's got his own throne. And he doesn't want to be in the driving seat of our car, as you may have heard in other things. He wants us to be in control of the car. He wants us to learn how to navigate this life in conjunction with him. But him not taking over and saying, "Right, now I will do and I'll show you how it's done." He's not that bossy, controlling individual. He is someone who wants you to succeed in life, who wants you, he's on your side, he's encouraging you, he's for you. And if we don't understand that, then we won't want to engage. Some people have got God, you know, God just wants to stop me having fun. He wants to stop me drinking, smoking, dancing, going to the cinema. I mean, these are sort of things that maybe historically we've got into the pattern of, well, God is just the God who says no, the Father who says no, you know, go and ask your Father. And the answer is always no. Well, that's not the God we're celebrating. That's not the Father we're celebrating today. You know, you may think he's an angry God. Sadly, you know, these things go on. And 1741, Jonathan Edwards preached this very famous sermon, Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God. And the problem is that 200 years, 300 years later, we've still got people, one, considering them identifying themselves as just their sinners, and secondly, that God is angry with them. And I had a conversation with someone just in the last few weeks, and that was still their understanding, that God, the Father, was angry with them for all their sins, and Jesus was the one who was protecting them from that wrath of God that was, you know, was measured, was, would have been measured against them. If, let me say, if that is your understanding, look again, because we are here, we want to see the Father clearly. And I believe some of these things, however well intended, have placed a lens that have created a distortion in our understanding of the Father. You may think he's distant. You may think he's a long way off, and you never actually feel like he's that close. And all this worship stuff and all these people talking about God, that's not your experience. He's a long, long way off, in heaven, up there somewhere, and not really close by. Or we've said before, you may think, if I go to God, he's just going to give me a job. If I ask him what to do with my life, he's going to tell me to go to Outer Mongolia and be a missionary, and I don't want to do that. Well, God knows us. He loves us. He created us. He wants to partner with us to walk through this life together. Or maybe you just think, well, I don't, a bit like Stephen Fry, I don't believe in God because he hasn't done the things that I think he should have done. So when I prayed and this didn't happen, then now I've given up on God. And for many people, quite understandably, but quite childishly, that experience has said, because I didn't get what I wanted, I don't want to, I'm not going to be friends with God any longer. So those are all the issues that we grapple with when we start to talk about the distortions of not seeing God clearly. And in Hebrews, Hebrews 11, which is a very famous passage, it says, it's impossible, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, instantly, some of us read that as, you know, well, we're trying to please God and we need to do this. But actually what it's saying is, because it explains the verse, it says you first need to believe that God exists. And then you need to know that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So just like Tanya was saying, if you seek after God and you know that he's there, then you will find him and you will be rewarded with a relationship with him and with a connection with him. But you can see how easy and how good the enemy's tactic is. If you think God is angry, you're not going to seek after him because he's not going to reward you. He's just going to shout at you. If you think he's distant, you're not going to seek after him because you never find him. If you think he's a taskmaster, you're never going to go towards him because you don't want to get another job. The only one that you might seek him is if you think he's Santa Claus and going to give you lots of presents. The problem is that isn't really God. So you're not going to find that God. You're going to be disappointed because actually you're looking for the wrong person. You know, that tactic works so well and it's so simple. But actually, when we see God clearly and we understand him, then we have a chance to relate and we start this dance with him and this partnership with him, which brings him delight but also brings us great reward and delight. So what's the solution for all of this? Well, God knows we're human. God knows it's very difficult to get to know someone just by, you know, you've got friends who've said, well, you should meet this person. They're wonderful. They're great. They're this, they're that. Actually, all of that is very good. But actually meeting someone face to face, that just seals the deal. And so God knew that. And so he sent Jesus. Being a father more than anything else, I believe, is taking responsibility. You often hear it, you know, sports people saying, now I'm a father, I'm really taking my sport seriously, I need to provide for my family. Now I'm a father, I've calmed down and I've done this. Now I'm a father. So something about fatherhood means taking responsibility. And just like that picture that Tanya had, actually, you know, God takes responsibility to find you. He has found us. He takes responsibility to talk to us. He's not sitting aloof waiting for us. He's calling our name. He's shouting, saying, I'm over here. He's wanting to connect. And because of that, he sent Jesus. He said, and Jesus came full of grace and truth, but more full of grace to show us the Father. In John 14, it says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So if you like Jesus, if you like what Jesus did, if you like how Jesus acted, if you like what Jesus said, you like the Father because you've seen the Father. If you like the way that he was loving and compassionate and patient and caring, and looked out for the unfortunate and was full of justice, then you like the Father, because if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. If you're concerned that God is not on your side, in John 5, it says, my Father is always working. Jesus was being accused of doing a miracle on a Sunday, and people were saying, it's wrong for you to do a miracle on a Sunday. You shouldn't be doing any work. And he was like, you know what? My Father is always working, and I am always working. He's always doing, and he's working on our behalf. Well, there's a song, Miracle Waymaker. Even if I don't see it, he's working. Even if I don't feel it, he's working. He's always making a way where there doesn't seem to be a way in our lives. And if we get that, and if we understand that, then we're not accusing him of not being involved. That's always the accusation. Where were you, God? Where are you, God? Why weren't you there? When in fact he was and is. One of the challenges with this world is that God is not the controller and the puppet master and the string puller of everything in this world. And therefore, there are times when he is unable to act, because if he does, it would mean he needed to control everything. And that's not the way this world's set up. Free will, our own control over our own lives to be able to love him and to be able to make those choices, means that built into this system has to be the possibility that God cannot intervene, because he would just be dictating this and dictating that and dictating the other, and the system would fall apart. Because he's not a dictator, he's a humble servant, and he is working on our behalf. He stoops down to make us great, the Bible says. So maybe you've got a picture a bit like I've said, and my prayer for you today is that you would meet God for yourself. Give him a chance. Say, okay, God, if you're real, let me introduce yourself to me. Show me who you are. Maybe it's time to say, put down all those other things and say, you know what, I'm going to draw a line and we're going to start again, because I want to give this another chance. Your goodness is running after me. That's what we sung. Your goodness is running after me. Psalm 23 says he makes prepares a table for us in front of our enemies. He leads us. He's a good shepherd, full of grace and mercy. He's a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. Not because they earnestly seek him. It's just a byproduct. If you meet God, you will meet goodness. He's for you and he's not against you. He's done everything to make a way so that you can have a relationship with him. He's always on your side. More than anything, that's what you want from a father, that actually they would be on your side. Right or wrong, whether you got it right or not, they're on your side. You know, I've probably told this story, but, you know, I took out the kit car, and I was taking it to give someone else a lift, and Dad said, "Be careful, it's very slippery out there." And he was right, because I spun the car, and and ultimately nearly wrote the whole thing off. But actually, when I was in the ditch and needing to be rescued, I rung Dad and said, "I've done what you said," but because I knew he would still be on my side, even if I had got it wrong. When I had got it wrong, he wasn't. He was on my side, and that is what our Heavenly Father is like. This passage in Matthew, let me read it for you. Matthew 7 says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For anyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if a son asks for bread, will give you a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, though you are evil, know how to do good gifts, how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" That's the Father we're talking about. So the homework. That passage says knock. It says ask, seek, and knock. But actually, the context is ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. And let me encourage you, if you've kind of given up and sat down and just said, "What's the point?" There is a point, because the enemy wants you detached from the very source of everything that you need, which is a relationship with the Father, a connection to the Father. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's what his role was, to reveal the Father and to make access to the Father, so that we could have this relationship with everything that I've talked about today. So let me tell you one story of how this works out in real life. I have been trying, many of you, if you know Tanya, will know that she loves tennis. And specific to tennis, she loves Andy Murray, or she really, has been following Andy Murray, mainly because he's got quite a lot of personality similarities with Campbell, I think. And the curly hair probably helps as well. But also because, yeah, he's misunderstood, and like so many people are, we don't really kind of get people. But Tanya just loves Andy Murray. So my quest has been, how can we get to see Andy Murray play? And I have tried on numerous occasions. We 4 or 5 years ago, we booked to go to Queens, which he's won a number of times. And he got knocked out in the first round. And then I was trying to book tickets to the end of season thing. He didn't make it to that. Then I was trying to figure out if we could see him in Australia at the Australian Open, and that didn't work. And over the years of his ups and downs, I've been trying to get to see him. So it was announced this season that he was going to play two tournaments, Nottingham and Queens. And so I booked tickets, particularly for Queens. And as I sat there in front of the ticket thing, and saying, I said, "Okay, God, which day do I need to be?" And kind of felt, look, Monday and Tuesday is the first round, so one of those days. And then I can't say I heard a booming voice from heaven saying, "Book Tuesday," but I just sort of thought, "Lord, I'm going to book Tuesday, and you've got to figure out everything else, because I can only do what I can do, but you can do more than I ask or imagine." So I booked Tuesday, and then again, I'd like to tell you that I was full of faith and confidence and it's going to happen, but there was a little bit of me, I just hope this happens. And sure enough, the schedule of play came through, and he was playing on Tuesday. So we were going to see him on Tuesday, and he'd already pulled out of Nottingham, so there was no chance of seeing him there. And I'm thinking, just you can imagine the sort of tension. But even after knowing that he was playing, there was just that kind of, is it actually going to happen? So it did happen, And we got to see Andy, and we got to see him play, and we got to see him win, and it was a really special thing. But actually, there was something more special that all the way through that process, the father was involved. So I was able to say to him, thank you, God, you know, thank you, Trinity, for help, for making this happen. And when I was there, I told people, I said, look, I booked Tuesday, and I just told God, you need to figure out how to get Andy here, because this is the day we're coming. And, you know, that's the kind of partnership and the kind of walking with each other that God wants. So let me pray, and then I'll hand you back to Tanya. So, Father, I thank you that you are our Father who art in heaven. And Father, when it's talked about hallowed be your name, that means let us understand your character. Let us understand who you are. And Father, you are so misunderstood, so misrepresented, so distorted, so used and abused. And Jesus, I thank you for everything that you did to try and undo that. But we want to do our part to be ambassadors of those who don't believe the lies that the enemy puts about, but actually says, no, if you meet him, you will know. You will see him as he really is. And Father, I thank you that there are opportunities, and there is nothing stopping us finding out how good you are and how great you are and how much you love us. So Father, I just pray that today we would repent. It means going the other way. We'd stop the way we're going, and we'd put it down, we'd drop the preconceptions, and we'd start again a journey of discovery to seeing clearly who you really are. And Father, for those who are wounded and hurt and have pain, and real pain, for understand situations they don't understand, Lord, I pray that they would know that you are the healer, you are the restorer, you are the rebuilder. And Father, I just thank you that today that you would open people's eyes afresh to who you are, in Jesus' name. Amen.